Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day.
Sometimes I'm right, and I could be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. Just a banker, a drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people.
Time for the morning show, hour two. Hope y'all are having a great day out there. Thanks so much for joining us. We're going to have some fun this hour. Get into a couple of interesting topics. Got some entertainment news coming up for you. And Gen Z's most trusted brands, all that coming up. But it's a Monday in the 10 o'clock hour. You all know what that means. I think, where is my?
I believe in you.
Where is it? It's not up here. It's not up here.
Tell me something good.
Tell me.
Good morning and welcome to the Kitchen's Open on
WFHR. God, that was awesome. No more bumper. We're doing it that way from now on. You two rock. You guys rock. Well done. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Beth, but nicely done.
This morning and for the last couple of weeks, it's been sponsored by the Hotel Mead. You can experience the best of Wisconsin Rapids with a stay at the Hotel Mead. Their friendly staff is there to ensure you have a memorable and enjoyable visit.
Yeah.
As fall has gotten into full swing, I am finding that activities have revved into high gear. Between work, kids' school schedules, and other activities, making dinner and then doing dishes seems to get less and less designated time.
Oh, yeah.
I want to make sure that my family has a chance to have a good meal, but I don't have a lot of time to spend on prepping or cleaning up.
Sure. Mm.
You feel me?
Yeah.
What I would do is just buy shakes for the kids. Yeah. And it's less dish.
Protein shakes. Show them how to make it.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what I do. I'm just, yeah.
Well, that's a method. Yeah, it's a good go-to, you know, in a pinch.
It's a solid backup, especially if you have a very picky kid.
It's true. But I have some other go-to recipes that I've learned over the years that don't take a lot of it. I've also loved finding new ones to put into my repertoire of quick meals with few dishes. FoodNetwork.com has compiled many recipes, and two articles caught my attention. Cool. The first one is an updated one of an article I highlighted back in July called 93 One-Pot Meals You'll Keep Coming Back To, and apparently the article doesn't lie because I came back to the article.
Naturally.
So this time, I found an interesting recipe for spaghetti that incorporates the toppings into the pot with the noodles to all cook together.
Sure.
So instead of doing the noodles
marrying,
they all come together. So the recipe is called One Pot Spaghetti with Fresh Tomato Sauce.
Sure.
Instead of making the sauce separately, it's created as the pasta cooks. And here's how it's done. You put 12 ounces of spaghetti, and I'm sorry about this, James, broken in half. I know, but that's what the recipe says.
If that's what the recipe says.
I don't know. That hurts my feelings.
I know. That's not a good Italian recipe. So if you're Italian or you just don't like breaking things in half, don't.
I was just going to say, I won't. You don't have to.
You don't have to. The recipe says to do it, but do what works for you, right? So you have 12 ounces of spaghetti.
You know what you like.
Broken or unbroken, your choice. 3 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil. 1 tablespoon tomato paste. 4 thinly sliced cloves of garlic, 2 medium tomatoes roughly chopped, a handful of fresh basil leaves, and that does make a difference.
Yeah, it does.
You know,
fresh basil is
not the dry that you get.
Fresh basil. Yes.
Fresh basil. And most grocery stores will sell you small plants of
they
basil.
They do have small plants.
Don't have growing it.
And they smell really good too.
Well, and that's an easy way to still have it over the winter. So like I have basil growing still out on my porch, but it's not going to be for much longer.
Right. And that can be brought in. And as long as you have a nice sunny window, you can still grow it inside. You can also buy just packaged basil leaves that have broken off of a plant.
Usually sold not in the cooler because basil is better outside of the cooler, and it's usually sold near the tomatoes.
Yeah, so that you can find it in your grocery store. So get the fresh basil for this recipe.
Because it's worth it.
It is. And you're going to have a handful of that, plus a pinch of crushed red peppers to taste. I am not a spicy person, so that would be eliminated from the recipe for me. But if you like it, add it. And if you want more, if you like it spicier, add more red pepper flakes.
Right. Or you could not and let people add it per bowl.
Exactly. And make sure you also add 1 teaspoon kosher salt to a high sided medium skillet. So that's where all of this is going to go. You're going to then add 5 cups of water and bring that to a boil over medium heat, which is again different because normally with spaghetti, you got the water boiling first.
Right.
This has you boiling it as it happens. And that also, I think, is going to help melt some of those tomatoes. Because
flavor is going to be in the pasta.
You do want 2 medium tomatoes roughly chopped in there as well.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. And then that's going to help break those down so that it becomes the sauce. You're going to continue to cook, stirring frequently. Again, with normal spaghetti, you don't always do that.
Yeah.
But you want to keep it stirring frequently to prevent it from clumping until it is al dente and the sauce is reduced and thickened. That's about 6 to 8 minutes.
Sure.
Stir in a half cup of grated Parmesan. The sauce will then thicken a little bit more. And season with salt if needed. Divide among 4 bowls and garnish with more Parmesan and torn basil leaves.
Crushed red pepper if you're spicy.
One meal. There you go. And often when I make spaghetti, I have my sauce in a separate pan. I've now eliminated a whole other pan. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. No, that sounds great.
Especially when we're the part of the overall theme for this is a quicker meal. Mm-hmm. And if you love spaghetti, this is a quicker way of doing it.
Absolutely.
I like the idea of the flavor being in the pasta instead of cooking the pasta in the water. Like, don't get me wrong, the flavor of just straight pasta is good. But if you're having it with a sauce and some of the flavor has already been imparted into the noodle itself, that's cool.
This feels worth trying, at least.
Yes,
at least for sure. Try it and see how it is and everything.
And part of what this does is when the spaghetti cooks, the starches get released from the spaghetti.
And that's what
allows it's what allows the sauce to bind to the spaghetti. So that way you're going to be able to have that sauce taste with all of your spaghetti.
Well, and it's really common for people to use like a little bit of the pasta water and adding it to the spaghetti sauce when you're cooking it separately too.
Yep.
So this makes sense in its
absolutely.
Way.
I remember thinking that was a trick my Nana did and that she did, and then I find out like everybody does that.
Yeah.
But that is a fun thing to do. It's a good recommendation if you don't do it.
It's something that people are now learning to do. I know growing up when my parents would make spaghetti, they'd put oil in with the spaghetti when it was boiling so that the noodles wouldn't stick, and then they'd dump it and then they'd rinse it. So then they lost any of that starch.
Right.
So this makes more sense to add that to let it bind.
Mm-hmm.
Pots aren't the only cooking vessel which can be used as a one vessel meal. Did you know that?
It's true.
Cookie sheets are not just for cookies.
It's true.
Whoa.
I use them all the time for everything.
Absolutely. You can also use a sheet pan to make a meal with little or no fuss. Nice. FoodNetwork.com shared some great ideas in their article, 57 Sheet Pan Recipes That Make Cooking and Cleanup Easier. How does ranch pork chop sheet pan supper sound?
Sounds good.
Sounds like a mouthful in more ways than one.
Yes.
Yes.
This recipe is courtesy of pioneer woman Ray Drummond.
Oh, fun.
All right. So you start by preheating that oven to 475 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay.
In a small bowl, mix together 2 tablespoons honey, 2 tablespoons Worcestershire sauce, 2 tablespoons of a 3.5 package of ranch dressing mix.
Nice.
2 tablespoons of olive oil and 1 teaspoon of pepper until it's all combined. You're going to then brush that mixture over 4 boneless pork chops that are about a half an inch thick and brush it on both sides. Then you're going to place those in a row on one side of the sheet pan. So if you have the sheet pan widthwise,
sure.
So it's longer width than height, you put it on one side of that.
Sure.
All right. You're going to use tongs to do that, too. So that way you don't get your hands all
salmonella. Wash your hands.
Make sure you do that frequently when you bake and cook.
I'm a hands-on cooker, so I wash my hands constantly.
There you go. The next step is in another medium bowl, add 1 pound halved baby Yukon Gold potatoes, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 1 tablespoon of that ranch dressing mix, and a 1/4 teaspoon of pepper, and toss that to coat.
Sure.
Then you're going to tip that onto the middle of the sheet pan next to the pork chops. You're going to bake all of that for 15 minutes. Meanwhile, while that's baking, you're going to have the time to add 8 ounces of trimmed green beans to a bowl along with 1 tablespoon of olive oil and the rest of that 3.5 ounce package of ranch mix and 1/4 teaspoon pepper. You're going to toss that all together so those green beans get coated. When the 15 minutes is up, you're going to remove the sheet pan from the oven, flip over the pork chops, toss the potatoes a little bit, and then add the green beans to the empty space on the other side of the baking sheet.
Right.
And then bake until the vegetables are just beginning to brown. That's going to be about another 7 minutes.
Sure.
After it's all out, you're going to garnish it with leaves and serve.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It's so easy.
And that could be subbed with, like, if you're not a pork chop person, you can also use chicken breast.
Absolutely.
Like, that's not, you can sub that with any meat you wanted.
Absolutely.
And you can sub that with any type of potato you want. And if you don't want green beans, maybe you want asparagus. That totally works.
It sounded really good. The ranch part wasn't too intriguing to me, but I would try it. I wonder if something else
You've
other
not
than
had
ranch
enough
might
stuff
work.
With ranch flavor
I
mix on it.
That sounds pretty
I bet
good,
a
though.
French onion dip mix would also work.
Also.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Sure.
But be aware that there's probably going to be more sodium in either of those. So
sure.
if you're.
Well, and you can use whatever this is tailorable,
right?
You could, if you don't want to use the ranch flavor mix, maybe you can use an Italian dressing flavoring mix instead. That
Absolutely.
Would work just as well for this application.
You two would be able to speak to this much better than I can. But one of the things that it seems like, Beth, when we, at the time we've been doing this and everything, the more modern recipes, they give you something to do while things are cooking.
Right.
Like,
right.
Because
really,
that's how you have to do it.
Yeah. I enjoy that. I enjoy that they've kind of updated the way we're giving recipes now and stuff. I imagine that's always been a part of cooking and stuff. I know I've done it when I'm making pasta or something like
it's
that.
It's been the unwritten understanding.
I think it's kind of cool that they throw that in there.
And with cooking, it's easier to get creative and to use it as a jumping off point. With baking, because of the science behind it, you really need to try to follow those recipes as much
and
as you can.
That's why I don't like baking as much as I like cooking.
I've never had a cookie turn out.
And there are some people that give me the instructions, tell me how to do it step by step by step. I don't want to have any room to mess up.
Fence me in.
Yes. And so if you don't like being fenced in, do cooking. Make the meal. If you like the rules and the structure, go for the baking.
Yep.
So the next one, the sheet pan article, not only had some great ideas for dinner, it also had a timely recipe for dessert.
Ooh,
this sounds so good.
Fall. Not only are pumpkins out there and ready, apples. Is apple season.
I love apple season.
So they have a Crumble Lovers sheet pan apple crumble.
Yay.
That just sounded to die for. Does not sound like it's very complicated to make either.
You just got
to
slice a bunch of apples.
You got to slice a bunch of apples. So you're going to position a rack in the center of your oven and preheat that oven to 425 degrees Fahrenheit.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to peel and core 7 medium baking apples. So that's a brand such as Gala or Fuji, about 3 pounds.
Like a baking apple,
right. And if you're curious, go to your grocery store, ask somebody in the produce department. Mm-hmm. You can find online baking apples and things like that. Often there's sheets that say, here's the sweetness, here's the tartness. So do it to taste.
That's a good suggestion.
So this is calling for either an apple or a Gala or a Fuji apple.
Perfect.
So you're going to cut all of those into 1/4-inch thick slices.
All right.
Place those apple slices in an 18-by-13-inch sheet pan and toss with 1 tablespoon of fresh lemon juice. It's worth buying the lemon.
Yes, it is.
And a secret is roll the lemon with your palm and put a little bit of pressure there, and that's going to release more of the juices for you.
Yep.
Cut it in half and then squeeze. And if you squeeze it so that the cut half is facing up, it can catch the seeds rather than
them. I
actually
do it like this, right?
So,
and a hand underneath
to catch
the seeds,
right? So that's a good way to do it. You're going to, after you do that, you're going to also add a 1/4 cup of brown sugar, 2 tablespoons of melted butter, 1 teaspoon of cinnamon, and an eighth of a teaspoon of salt. And you're going to mix that all together on the sheet pan.
Sure.
Until you have all of those apples coated.
Perfect.
The next step is you're going to spread the apples then evenly on the pan, cover with foil, and bake until the apples have softened and release some of their liquid. That's going to take about 20 minutes.
Sure.
Meanwhile, again, you're doing something
you're
while
crumbling.
It's baking. You're going to make your crumble. You're going to combine 2 cups old-fashioned rolled oats, 1 1/2 cup all-purpose flour, 1 1/4 cup brown sugar, 1 teaspoon cinnamon, and 1 teaspoon salt together in a large bowl, breaking up any of the lumps with a fork.
Yeah.
You're going to add 14 tablespoons, about 1 3/4 sticks melted butter to the oat mixture. Stir it with a fork until it's all moistened and crumbly. So the entire recipe calls for 2 sticks of butter, which is going to be a cup of butter. you're only using the 2 tablespoons for with the apples. The rest of it goes into this crumble mix. So that's why it's separated
really
like that.
Rich but tasty.
Yes, it is.
I love crumble.
Me too.
So once you've made the crumble, you're going to carefully uncover the sheet pan after that first 20 minutes and scatter the crumble, the oat crumble, evenly over the top. And then you're going to bake uncovered until the top is crisp and golden brown and juices are bubbly. And that's going to take another about 15 minutes.
And then you let it sit so it thickens.
Let it sit so it has time to cool. Mm-hmm. And then you serve it with a little bit of vanilla ice cream on top.
Yeah, you do. And that's another recipe where you can swap it for a seasonal fruit for different seasons. Like
Absolutely.
If it's no longer apple season, you can swap that out for a peach.
Absolutely.
You can swap that out for a pear. You can, there are so many fruits. You can sub it for a squash.
Right. Absolutely. What I found is great to
squashes.
Do is when your Thanksgiving meal is done and you still have some of the cranberry sauce
that's
left.
That's the one. Or
you
like
mix
a half
that
cranberry
with
and half apple. Yeah, that's the move.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it has crumble.
Yeah.
There you go.
I like pecans in my crumble, but I guess I'm a monster.
Well, I have a allergy boy in my
Fair
house
enough.
So that we can't.
You definitely
can't do the nuts and things
crumble.
Like that. Nope. You adapt. Like I said, that's
but it's also
those
a recipe
are those
that's
small
tailorable.
Little things
you
that
can,
you can tailor.
Mm-hmm.
The recipe, the main recipe itself, you want to try and stick to as much as you can.
Yeah.
So, well, if you have a one vessel recipe that you love, consider sharing it with us by submitting it to the 85th anniversary cookbook we're putting together.
Yeah.
You can find a link on our website at WFHR.com. Stop by the station to pick up a submission form or have Pam make a copy of the recipe card for us. Once again, our thanks goes out to the Hotel Mead for sponsoring our segment.
Thank
Whether
you.
You're looking for a great meal, a night out, or a place to hold your next event, the Hotel Mead has you covered. For more information on all they have to offer, go to www.hotelmead.com. And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Yay! Another great addition.
I think that was my first kitchen.
That was your first kitchen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was nice to have you with us. And I will have copies of these recipes connected on my next newsletter article.
Awesome.
So you can click and find those recipes.
Perfect. So be sure to sign up for our weekly newsletter at WFHR.com.
Fantastic work as always, Beth. Nicely done. Big shout out to you and the Hotel Mead. We appreciate our friends over there so much. Be listening next Monday for another edition of The Kitchen's Open, everybody. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it already. I'm hungry already just thinking about it.
Yeah, I really want to crumble.
Thanks, Beth. We appreciate
you. You're welcome.
You. We'll be back with more show.
Working in the lab late one night, when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he did the monster mash.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Hope you all are having a great Monday out there. Laura and James hanging out with you over here.
Yeah.
We have to get that one in.
I feel like you play the bumpers just long enough for the listeners to start singing along before you turn it down.
Yep.
Is that kind of your goal?
It's kind of my thing.
It feels like it.
It's kind of what I do. It's kind of, I can't help myself. A shout out to Beth and the Hotel Mead with
Absolutely.
A great edition of The Kitchen's Open.
Yeah, that was fun.
Be listening next Monday for another edition of that, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We dive into entertainment news and we say goodbye to a legend. Just kick things off.
Yeah.
Diane Keaton passed away Saturday. She was 79 years old. There's no word on her cause of death, and I don't know why they include that.
That's so unnecessary. It's not our business.
What changes if you hear the results of whatever caused it? I don't understand
Nothing.
This need to include that.
It's so irrelevant.
Like, she passed. That's
Stop
enough.
Stop being so nosy. It's
Let
not
us,
your business.
Yeah, exactly. A friend told People magazine that Diane's death was unexpected and that her health had been declining rapidly in the last couple of months.
Which sometimes happens.
Quote, in her final months, she was surrounded only by her closest family who chose to keep things very private. Mm-hmm. Even longtime friends were fully aware of what was going on, but were not sharing and not telling the masses, which is very cool to think that people kept this under wraps and everything.
Yeah.
Keaton rose to fame in the 1970s on the strength of the Godfather movies that she has never gotten any credit for her performance in.
No.
And her collaborations with Woody Allen, of course,
Naturally.
Over the years.
Yep.
Played again, Sam, Sleeper. Annie Hall is probably
Annie
the most
Hall's
famous
the big one
of those. Her other films include Something's Gotta Give. She was fantastic in Reds.
Yep.
Loved her in the... I just recently watched The Father of the Bride.
Oh, sure.
Not the whole thing, but because of the play. birthday coming up. I wanted to get an idea of it, and just saw her in that the Family Stone looking for Mr. Goodbar. And I think for younger generations, where my generation would know her from Annie Hall, younger generations would know her from the First Wives Club.
Sure.
Which I actually saw in the theater. It was a good movie. It was a good movie.
It wasn't bad. Well, there were it was a big star heavy movie.
I mean, Goldie
Hawn
and Gypsy Bette Midler.
Gypsy. I knew where you were going with it once you got there.
Diane also bought and renovated homes and even wrote a book about it called The House That Pinterest Built.
Oh, cool.
That was a big cause for her. Diane is survived by two adopted children, a son and a daughter. She never married, but she did date Warren Beatty and Al Pacino for a while.
Right.
Francis Ford Coppola, who directed her in the Godfather movies, called her endlessly intelligent and so beautiful.
That's a great way to say it.
What a... Just a beautiful way to put it.
Sorry, my contacts are weird.
I'm not
crying.
That's all right. That's all right. I'm just glad you're okay. No word yet from Woody Allen, but a so-called source said he, quote, is extremely distraught about it. I don't really care.
Nope.
When it comes to her and her legacy,
I want to not tie him to it as much as possible.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. Well, I find it very interesting because I don't know that Woody Allen would have made it without actors like her.
Exactly.
I don't know.
I
think it's the other way around.
Word this.
I think it is because especially as time moves on and everything, we kind of get more and more of an idea of, Woody Allen really wasn't that talented.
No.
I'm sorry. He just wasn't.
He was just okay at casting.
He was, yes, had an eye for talent. He definitely had some skill and some ability to read an audience.
And
but
it's
not,
worth noting the actors and actresses specifically like Diane Keaton that he worked with repeatedly, they were drivers in his career, and you can't look at it any other way if you're being honest with yourself.
I my eternal memory of her, as much as I love her in The Godfather and Annie Hall and all these, this doesn't happen with actors very often. I usually think of a role when I think of Diane Keaton. I think pretty much my whole second half of my life, when I think of Diane Keaton,
I think of Diane Keaton.
I just think of her. I think of her in one of her hats and her glasses and just kind of like, just like everything that looked comfortable.
in a suit at the Oscars.
She was so comfortable in her own skin and her own ability. In an industry that wants to chew you up and just turn you into what they want, she never did that. She never she was nothing but herself.
And an industry that wants to put an expiration date on a woman who is in the acting business, and Diane Keaton was unwilling to stand by that. And that's awesome.
I love the
truly a pioneer in that way.
I really love the chemistry of her and Goldie in that movie in First Wives Club.
Yes.
It's so good. It's so,
so good.
She will be missed. I encourage everybody to go out, watch a scene of hers and get it if you get a chance.
Or a few. A whole movie if you can.
I know I want to. We do this with everybody. We do it with a lot. I should say with a lot. You know, we talked about Betty White quite a bit and wanting to appreciate her as much as we could and gearing up for her 100th birthday that never happened. And I think that even with all the hype and circumstance and all that, we still didn't maybe appreciate her enough.
Yeah.
And I think Diane Keaton is a very similar person like that.
Sure.
And there's another name like that's coming up right now, Michael J. Fox.
Sure.
And I'm thankful that we are kind of doing the opposite with him to a degree. You'll never be able to appreciate anything completely until it's completely gone.
No.
So it's very hard to do that. That's the human existence. Welcome to it.
It just is what it is, yeah.
But I do appreciate that we are kind of doing that with actors like Michael J. Fox and some others. And Michael J. Fox will make his return to acting for the upcoming third season of Shrinking on Apple TV+.
Okay.
He previously retired back in 2020. When Fox found out that Harrison Ford's character has Parkinson's disease, he called the show's creator Bill Lawrence and asked if he could have a role. Quote, I said, you did a show about Parkinson's and you didn't call me? He's joking,
right.
It was the first time ever I get to show up on set and I didn't have to worry about, am I too tired or coughing or is my Parkinson's going to get in the way?
Too obvious here. Yeah.
Which, in typical Michael J. Fox fashion, is said all in jest and with a bit of a sly smile and everything. It was, quote, it was really good because for the moments when I say I'm not going to be able to do this, then I say, well, I'll just deal with how I can do it in the scene and get through it. He was able to finally act and not have to ask for cuts or anything like that. Shrinking Season 3 doesn't have a release date yet, but we'll let you know when it does come out. The show has been very popular and done very well on Apple Plus, I believe it is. Yeah, I believe it's on Apple. I don't know. I've been wanting to see the show.
Yeah, I don't have Apple Plus, so I don't really have the option to watch this show.
That really pulls me into it. That really makes me want to see it. That scene's pretty good.
Well, and Harrison Ford, I mean.
Yeah, I think Jason Segel's in it, too, and he does a really good
job. Yeah, they're great. I like all those guys.
It looks good. I'll have to check that out. We will take a quick commercial break. We'll check things out there with our news, sports, and entertainment, and our take care of our partners.
Yes.
When we come back, Gen Z's most trusted brands. We're going to talk about that when we get back on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Yep.
Hope you're having a good one out there. Laura and James here with you. We got to get into this interesting one about the trusted brands, but Laura reminded me, I did have a movie review from my dad.
That's right. We forgot the Jim Maloff movie review.
My dad is a big fan of those How to Train Your Dragon movies.
Yes.
And the new live action version finally came out on streaming. So
I've been dying to hear this.
Him and my mom had a Friday movie night that they watched everything. I know that they did because I could hear them upstairs just shouting and yelling at the TV and all this. And
that's a good sign.
Yeah. He told me he really liked it. He thought it was really good.
Good.
He's hopeful that they'll make another one. So to me, that's a really good sign.
A live action sequel. How cool. That's what he's hoping for.
And according to him, this was one of the good ones of the live action remakes and everything.
Good. And he was the target audience. So
Gerard Butler played the dad in the animated one, and they got him for the real version and everything.
I love it when they do that.
That's smart. Yeah. It's a very cool thing
to do.
Same
with The Rock as Maui in the live action Moana. Like, I'm so glad they were able to do that.
If you could pull it off, it's a fun way to do it.
Right?
So if you were curious of what Jim Maloff thought of it, everybody, there you go. Now you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new report out on America's most trusted brands, and it weighed the reputations of thousands of brands, including restaurants, groceries, household products, services, and entertainment.
Okay.
It's a pretty big list here.
Sure.
For Gen Z, the most trusted brand is YouTube. And points to Laura. She got this in during the pregame and everything. She figured that one out. Followed by Band-Aid, Dawn Dish Soap, Costco, and Google.
Okay.
Others that ranked highly include Nike, Ben & Jerry, Gatorade, Nintendo, Netflix, PlayStation, and Spotify.
Okay.
Most trusted Gen Z brands, according to this article.
Sure. And I think some of those are very good choices.
Mm.
Some of them really are. It's hard for me to think of YouTube as a brand.
Yeah.
It just is.
Thank you.
It's really hard for me to think of YouTube
as
a brand. Like, do they sell merch? Like, are they a brand?
I
guess they're a brand.
I don't know what else to call them.
I suppose.
I mean, I don't know because of the range of things that they do.
Right. Well, and I mean, they do let a lot of not true things up on their site, but it's that they really are. They're actually the free speech place because they're not really filtering much.
Yeah.
And that means there's a lot of weird stuff on YouTube, guys. Don't trust everything on the YouTube.
Absolutely. But I will say, out of all of these kind of things from Facebook, YouTube, any of this stuff, YouTube's probably the one that's policed the best. I don't know.
Well,
Wikipedia
in
for
its
sure.
Way, but yeah. And a lot of brand, a lot of people, a lot of, I guess, I don't know, influencers, journalists, the combination thereof, a lot of those that I trust do have videos on YouTube. They do use YouTube. And so that's worth noting.
For millennials, the most trusted brand is Google, followed by PayPal, YouTube, Dawn Dish Soap, and the USPS.
Yeah, but Google's quickly dropping in trustworthiness.
I imagine.
Amongst the millennials that I know.
Others that ranked high include Lysol, Visa, Hershey's, Dove, Tide, Lego, and the Weather Channel.
Okay, sure.
I like seeing the Weather Channel pop up.
I do.
There.
I did not like seeing PayPal on there, though. That is Peter Thiel, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Just throwing that out there.
For my fellow Gen Xers, the most trusted brand is Dawn dish soap, followed by Oral-B, Hershey's, Band-Aid, and Duracell. Others that ranked high are Heinz ketchup, Tylenol, Home Depot, Clorox, Betty Crocker, and M&M's.
I feel like those duck commercials for Dawn dish soap did a lot to our generations.
Sure did.
We really ranked Dawn up high there.
The only one that's showing up on all these lists, from what I can tell, at least.
It's those duck commercials, I bet.
And for boomers, the most trusted brand is Kleenex, followed by Dawn dish soap.
I'm like, dog.
UPS, Tylenol, and Band-Aid. Others okay. that ranked highly include Lowe's, Ace Hardware, Colgate, Philadelphia Cream Cheese, Bounty, and Hefty.
All right.
There are some similarities on those lists, and there are some differences, mm-hmm. but it's kind of cool and I think unique to show how much there are similarities yeah. there. And
I will definitely say there's the younger the generation, the more tech stuff is on there.
And I one thing I think that it doesn't get noted quite a bit, the part of the reason why we look at the, you know, your generation looks at the younger generation differently mm-hmm. and all that and vice versa and everything, because there's not that many outliers, no matter what the generation.
Sure.
Because we have so much in common. Mm-hmm. We are so alike.
Yeah.
And I really think that's important to remember as all of us get older and all of us have younger generations coming up.
Yeah.
To kind of like, it's one thing to make, you know, jokes here and there mm-hmm. and everything. It's another to kind of like bring that into hiring practices or,
yes.
you know, getting it to a point where it becomes the norm to think this.
Yeah.
I have worked with a lot of people from 17 to 24, 25, along those mm-hmm. age ranges mm-hmm. and everything. I've never had a problem with any of them with concentration.
Nope.
I've never had to say to any of them, hey, get your head out of your phone, get your head out of your tablet right. or something like that. Now, I've also worked with a lot of people in my generation.
Sure.
And I have had to say it to them. Mm-hmm. I don't think that a lot of these things are that hard to see if you just take a step back.
Yeah. If you're open to actually being honest about the experience you're having, yeah.
The brand Gen Zers trust the most compared to other adults is TikTok. The brand Millennials... Kind of wild.
Yeah, no, that I get it.
Oh, kind of.
I get it.
The brand Millennials trust the most compared to other adults is Bitcoin.
That's really unfortunate. Come on, guys.
Yeah. The brand Gen Xers trust the most compared to other adults is Campbell's Soup.
You should be proud of that.
I'm very proud
you
of that.
You should be really, like, that's a respectable answer.
Like, I genuinely would like doing a fist pump on that one. Like, yeah, that's awesome.
I am so disappointed.
they have the what's followed for these. I should just real quickly. So
the runner up?
Yeah, Gen Zers was TikTok, followed by Duolingo and Life 360.
Okay, okay, sure.
Millennials, Bitcoin, followed by Red Bull and 5-Hour Energy.
God, that's so on brand. Mm. Oh my God, we're such a disappointment.
And Gen Xers, Campbell's Soup, followed by Speed Stick.
Yep. That all tracks.
I've never understood that. That Speed Stick's not the one. That's of all the deodorants, that's the one
it's
I cannot
a wild
work.
Choice.
It just doesn't work on my, I don't know, it doesn't work for
and
me.
And I'm shocked Gen Z didn't choose Teen Spirit.
Yeah, yeah. And the brand boomers trust the most compared to other adults is Procter & Gamble, followed by Lazy Boy.
Wow.
I mean, okay.
Sure.
I guess.
No,
I guess
that tracks. I can see that.
What about you out there, regardless of your age, what is a trusted brand to you? What is
what brand do you consider a trusted brand?
You look at and you're like, I trust that. I maybe if I haven't even seen the commercials or I don't know, this is a new product to me, mm-hmm. but hey, it's got that brand name on it and I trust
you
it.
You believe their label.
I wanted to have examples and I'm having a hard time, like for myself, just my own personal examples. And
Aldi's, like their store brand stuff, mm-hmm. Consistently. I really like their store brand stuff. I really like, I'm just trying to think, what else do I like? I guess I like Arm & Hammer.
Oh, good one. Yeah, Arm & Hammer's good. That's a good one. Kraft.
Sure.
I Kraft is a pretty good
one
to me.
Crayola.
Crayola. Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Good one. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. I know it got brought up before, but Duracell? Duracell's a good one. Duracell's a good one. Oh, boy.
Okay.
I think that was a good list.
Yeah, I think we did it. I think we're okay.
I think we added some to the list.
And those were good ones.
Those were great.
Elmer's.
Oh, great. Nice, nice. See, I knew there was like other ones that we're not thinking of. Those are a great one, Elmer's. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to be fair, Band-Aid, I think, did show up on all of everybody's lists, too.
It's a good one, too.
Band-Aid is such an interesting one to me because it is a brand, mm-hmm. but there are so many, but it's become, the brand itself got so well known that even generic Band-Aids are known as
Band-Aid. Same with Kleenex, right? Shout out to Kleenex, also on the list. And yeah.
Imagine you're the early days of those companies and to see where it would go. That's got to be pretty cool to think of. Like, that's what people just associate with that product.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. Yeah. Pretty wild when you think about it.
It sure is.
We will take a quick time out. We'll come back and wrap up the show, the morning show for this Monday, right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. James and Laura hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us. Mm-hmm. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. Nothing but great civic media programming going on throughout the day.
It's true.
Other programming going on for you. We've got a new Rapid Support lined up today.
We do.
We're going to have some fun with this one. Laura, we have got joining us today for the Rapid Support our great friends at the League of Wisconsin Rapids, League of Women Voters.
Yeah, the League of Women Voters for the Wisconsin Rapids area. Bridget Masalam is coming in. They're going to discuss the United We Rise or the Unite and Rise movement, whichever they call it. I can never remember the name because I'm a bad member.
They got a fundraiser going on as well, and some other things. And we're going to get into, you know, things you should know.
Bridget and Clara Kubitschek is coming.
Can't wait. Love talking with them.
Yeah.
Love talking. I just turned the mics on and get out of their way.
And Bridget's great.
That'll be a fun interview. Be on the lookout for that at WFHR.com, everybody. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, you can find previous Rapid Support episodes there as well.
Yeah.
And on our sister station, 105.5 WIRI, we're going to have Playmakers from 4 to 5. We speak sport.
It's true.
Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing for sponsoring the hour.
Yeah.
Appreciate them so much.
Absolutely.
I believe Michael Comer is going to join me today if he's able to. Michael will be on the air
That'd
with
be great.
Us. But we want your sports takes and feelings. Big sports weekend. Want to hear from you about it, everybody.
Yeah, you should call in.
Join us for Playmakers a little bit later today. We're looking forward to that one. It's going to be a fun episode.
Yeah.
And of course, we will have other great stuff for you over on 105.5 WIRI throughout the day. Join Laura and her lounge and so much other stuff, fun things going on over there.
Yeah, my 5 to 9 chunk of the day that I do every weekday.
Another reminder to everybody that we are collecting your groups, your nonprofit groups, Halloween activities, your events.
True.
Let us know about those. You can email us info@WFHR.com or call us at 715-424-1300.
Yeah.
Get them to Pam, and we'll include them in our morning shows.
We'll get the word out. We'll even include them in some of our voice tracking on WIRI. We'll get that word out if you get the news to us.
Be on the lookout for that. And, of course, be listening probably next week or the week after. We'll start doing the Halloween times.
Sure.
Week of, certainly, of Halloween.
Oh, for sure. By then, yeah.
Want to remind everybody that tomorrow is a great one going on with our VFW night at Culver's, our local Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be VFW night from 4 to 8. That's where a portion of the proceeds will go to help out the causes of the VFW.
Which is good stuff.
Going on tomorrow at our local Culver's. Join them for Culver's night with our VFW from 4 to 8. Head on over there, everybody, and check that out.
Yeah.
We got a couple of other great events going on in our area Laura and I wanted to touch on. Mm-hmm. Let's go chronological, Laura. Why don't you go first?
Okay. I don't know if they're chronological, but we're going to do it.
Maybe not, actually, All right. That I'm thinking about it.
Variety Productions presents Rumors by Neil Simon. You can get your tickets at... Don't do that. Showtimes are Thursday, October 16th at 7 p.m., Saturday, October 18th at 2 p.m., and Saturday, October 18th at 7 p.m. at the Jensen Community Center in Amherst. Our very own Beth Habhegger is part of the cast, and you know it's going to be a good show. And again, you can get your tickets by texting Morgan at 715-340-8078. And then I also have, hang on, the ODC presents Dreadmore Keep Haunted House and Dreadmore Cove for the kids. Friday, October 17th and Saturday, October 18th from 6 to 9:30 p.m. It is an all-inclusive wheelchair accessible community event, free and open to the public. Dreadmore Cove is a kid-friendly experience and Dreadmore Keep is a classic horror and scary experience. It is fun for the whole family. Food trucks will be at the event. For more information, you can visit odcinc.com. And Historic Point Bass. We'll be having an evening of haunted history, storytelling, and guided lantern-lit tours. Learn from individual citizens of Point Bass as they emerge from the darkness to tell you about themselves in our version of haunted history on Saturday, October 18th and Saturday, October 25th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Wakely Road. It is fun for the entire family, and it is still only $5 to get into the Spirit Walk at Historic Point Bass.
All great events. Be sure to attend as many of them as you can. Science by the River also coming up this weekend, a celebration of science, nature, and community. Mm. It's all along the Wisconsin River. It'll go on this Saturday, October 18th from 10 to 1. You can go from Lion Park to Ben Hansen Park, or just go ahead and visit different sections as you will. It's free, it's outdoors, it's family friendly. Yeah. Join us for Science by the River, a one-day outdoor event featuring over 15 interactive discovery stations. Explore hand-on activities and meet local scientists, educators, and enthusiasts.
Yeah.
If you want to find out more, go to their Facebook page. It's a great way to keep up to date on the things that they are doing, and also see kind of an outline of where the stations are and how to attend them. I love that event.
It's a really cool event.
You do such a good job with that one. And our Wisconsin Rapids Family Center invites you to their annual Domestic Violence Awareness Vigil. Please join us to honor those who tragically lost their life due to domestic violence-related homicides in Wisconsin in 2024. We will be celebrating those that support survivors and work to make change in our community. The theme for 2025, Everyone Knows Someone. It reminds us to work together to learn about the causes and impacts of domestic violence in our community so that we might recognize warning signs and empower those affected by domestic violence. This event will take place October 23rd. It's a Thursday. It'll go on over at Millen Library's auditorium, 6 o'clock in the evening. We will have an interview this Wednesday with Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher. We're going to talk a little bit more about this because the city is going all out showing support for this. You're going to see a lot of purple this month, and it has nothing to do with Minnesota Vikings.
It is Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
All about that. This is the month it's okay for Wisconsinites to wear purple during football season. Because it's more important than football. It's
As
more important
than
anything.
As someone who has had purple hair for months, I really disregard that rule in general.
really. Shout out to this community supporting this cause. And so many people I've seen wearing purple or having purple lights in their doors or some of those things. I encourage you to be a part of this event. Again, the event takes place Thursday, October 23rd, 6 o'clock in the evening over at McMillan Library. And of course, remember that the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center has your back. Find out more at familyctr.org, familyctr.org. Wanted to get to a couple of world good stories.
Sure.
Two teens in Kansas helped save a guy's life last week.
Whoa.
They saw his truck swerving on the road, pulled in front to stop him, and called 911.
Okay.
It turned out his blood sugar was low and he blacked out.
Oh, no.
The city council is honoring them at an event next month.
Oh, very cool.
When I was young, I don't remember, I don't think I saw this. I'm pretty sure I just heard about it. I might have, but so the Dan Ryan going in Chicago is insane.
Sure.
It's just insane going in, and it's so busy. But one of the cool things I thought when I was a kid is really early in the morning, it could be kind of quiet.
Okay.
One of those mornings, I'm going to the city with my dad, and we saw something similar to this with a rig.
Sure.
It didn't have a back. It was just the rig.
Sure.
And the guy ends up kind of pulling over a little ways down. And it was like later that day or maybe even later in the week that we found out that that was the cause of this guy and all this, that it was that. And it could have been so much worse.
Yeah. No, there was a really tragic incident of that happening in Nisida just a couple of years ago.
Good on those kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
And more kids doing good. A 10-year-old girl in Texas did the Heimlich maneuver and saved her 7-year-old brother's life.
Oh, how cool.
He was eating candy while jumping on a trampoline in the backyard. Something he told his parents he won't do again.
Right.
Their mom teaches CPR and life-saving skills, so she was very proud, of course.
Yeah.
But this young lady is got like bragging rights over her brother.
She's got this over her brother forever.
Oh, man.
Anytime. I mean, she's she's got him.
Like, it's a good story. Congratulations to this young girl.
I hope she doesn't lord this over him. But like,
man. That's some baggage, right? That's a good one. And a woman from New Jersey recently flew to England to meet her pen pal of 51 years.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. They've been writing letters to each other since they were 11, and it's the first time they've met in person.
Oh, how cool.
That's a really cool story.
That is really cool.
And congrats to them. The video of it is wonderful. You have to see the video if you get a chance and everything, everybody. This does remind me, though. Have you heard this? I don't know if it's going on with your kids or not, but mm-hmm. I heard that this is a thing again.
Pen pal thing?
That they're bringing it back.
My kids don't have a pen pal that I know of. Yeah. It'd be cool if they did.
I don't know if this is the reasoning behind it, but I know that around the time that I heard that this was a thing coming back, and now that I'm saying it out loud, I think this might have been like a year ago I heard this.
Sure.
But I was curious, and I never got to follow up on it. I wonder if a lot of teachers are working hard to get kids to learn cursive and learn to write a little bit more and finding reasons for them to do that.
Yeah, and this is a good way to do that.
Yeah, that'd be a really good way to do it and kind of a fun way. Also, as far as like learning more about the world and understanding
and about
of it.
Postage. Learning how the mail works.
Well, especially if we're trying to find, you know, ways for kids to learn more about other countries and other world.
Yeah, especially if their pen pal is overseas. Yeah.
Seems like a good way to do that. That seems like a good one. Yeah. That is fun. Oh, it's a good story. We got nothing but good stories coming up for you, everybody. We've got a great week ahead of Rapids Report guests. We'll be talking more about that.
Yep.
And tomorrow, the morning show, we got Katrine Hanner from Family Natural Foods. It's going to be a fun show. This was a great show. Shout out to Beth, and great job by you, Laura.
You too, James.
And have a good day. To be good to each other out there.
Bye.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.